It's the Geek Cave Podcast's live annual Extra Life Marathon for Children's Miracle Network. Donate now to help your local Children's Miracle Network hospital at geekcavepodcast.com. Now, here are your hosts, Darren Wright, Justin White, and Chad Savage.
And welcome to Geek Cave Live Movies. I'm Darren.
I'm Justin.
I'm Chad. And we are playing in our, we're coming up on our 13th hour of Extra Life Marathon.
Doesn't so feel far. Like it at all.
And we are now in the movie segment of Geek Cave Live. We are brought to you by Shirt of Source, digging up clothing from the past so you can look rad today. With free shipping on all orders within the U.S., plus great t-shirt, sweater, and hoodie designs on everything geek chic. Whether you're a fan of Sega, Nintendo, Robocop, Dragon Ball, or something in between, find something for you at shirtosource.com. And order now to make sure it arrives on time for the holidays. And, of course, we're brought to you by Gamefly, your destination for new and used video games. Now with new membership options for everyone, including Elite Plan, so you always get the newest game and budget plan to help you save some cash. Plus, their store. Well, maybe your store. Do you have a store? I don't know. Their store, though, carries Lego products and some of the most popular arcade 1-Up cabinets. Gamefly has thousands of titles you can keep as long as you want without worrying about late fees. When you're done, just send it back with the postage-paid envelope for a new one, or pay a lot less than in-store prices. Keep it forever. Sign up for a free 30-day trial right now using the link at geekcavepodcast.com.
.com.
The link's in the tag post?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, right at the very top of the website.
Right on.
Yeah.
Hey.
So, we got some things to talk about. Who typically goes first? I didn't write my notes the same way today. We ask Justin.
Yeah.
Except you're at the party.
At the party.
Did you have a different party?
I did.
Hit it!
Pilot party! Pilot party!
Pilot party!
Welcome to Pilot Party, where I review an entire TV series based only on the first episode. Why the first episode? Because life's too short for more than one episode. Unless it's Firefly. Then you have to binge the entire series. It's the law.
Well, that was only one episode long, so...
13-hour episode
long.
So, a bit of housekeeping first. I neglected to rate last month's show, and I apologize for that. For those wondering, I gave it 3 out of 5 blood-soaked adventurers running through the streets scaring the crap out of townsfolk. Now on with the show. The Merriam-Webster Dictionary defines confused as disoriented with regards to one's sense of time, place, and identity. This is certainly true when it comes to Dirk Gently's Holistic Detective Agency, a show based on the character by Douglas Adams, author of the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy trilogy, of which there are 5 books.
Hmm.
Yes. So the first thing we see is a murder scene. Bloody handprints, bodies and various body parts strewn about the room, broken furniture, including a grand piano, scorch marks everywhere, and large bite marks on the ceiling. A small black kitten walks out of the bathroom and is scooped up by someone. Well, somebody's got to play. I'm reading. Then we meet Todd. He's woken up to the sound of yelling and banging. Looking outside, he sees his landlord beating up his car with a hammer and yelling about rent money. Todd tries to calm the landlord down, but to no avail. With no car and the threat of bodily harm weighing him down, he goes to work. He works as a bellboy at a hotel. Asking his boss for an advance in his paycheck, he gets brushed off and told to go check the penthouse since the Do Not Disturb sign has been up for a while. Riding the elevator up, it stops on the 18th floor, where he hears someone yelling about a time machine. The person turns and it looks just like Todd, but with a different outfit and a black eye. The elevator continues up and gets to the penthouse. Outside the room, the lights are flickering and he finds a lottery ticket. He puts it in his pocket and opens the door. This is where the murder happened. All right. Cops show up and question him. It was discovered it was his passkey that opened the door just prior to the murder. Surveillance footage shows someone wearing a gorilla mask entering the room. He is now a person of interest and is fired. Returning home, he finds Dirk gently climbing through his window. After a brief scuffle, Dirk informs him that he's on a case and that Todd has assistant written all over him. Dirk kicks him out, and a bullet flies through the window, misses him, goes through the ceiling, and kills his upstairs neighbor, who had somebody tied to their bed who he was about to kill. The bullet was fired by, from some unidentified guys whose job apparently it is to, quote, protect the primary. The next morning, Dirk is waiting for Todd and tells him he now lives with him. And, oh, you're going to your sister's? I'll take you since your car's busted. They go there and learn that Todd and his sister suffer from a disease that causes hallucinations so real that it can cause physical pain. Todd has recovered or is in remission, but his sister still suffers. We also learn that Dirk is investigating the murder at the hotel. He was hired by the victim 6 weeks before they died. They go back to Todd's, where a group called the Rowdy Three, consisting of four guys, break in and ransack the place. They absorb some light from Dirk and leave. Landlord comes in and threatens to shoot Todd and Dirk. He shoots the microwave instead. The bullet ricochets and kills him. Now involved in two deaths, Todd is taken into custody, but is released because, quote, he is a person of interest while somehow not being an interesting person. Todd and Dirk have an argument and Todd leaves. While riding the bus back to his apartment, he spots a corgi walking down the street. He's seen the dog several times throughout the day and stops to check it out. He takes the dog back to the owner. As the owner is collecting the dog, we see a young woman in the background actively making sure Todd sees her. This woman looks like the missing daughter of the murder victim who's been advertised throughout the episode. Homeless, jobless, penniless, Todd wanders the streets. He passes by an all-night convenience store just in time to see the winning lottery numbers match the ticket he found at the hotel. We also see Dirk at his own place removing a gorilla mask and the black kitten from a black duffel bag. Credits. This is just the main plot. There are several subplots involving a holistic assassin, the person who was tied to the bed in the upstairs apartment, and the guys protecting the primary. And this all happened in 58 minutes.
Wow.
I don't even know what to say. I was entertained, don't get me wrong, but I understood less about the universe than when I went in. That's how confused I was. It's engaging, the acting is great, the casting was fantastic. It's just, you ever look at something and not understand it, but you know you like it? That's this. As for my predictions, I'm not sure I could come up with something as bizarre as the show already has going. So let's just end with one of my favorite Douglas Adams quotes. The ship hung in the air much the same way that bricks don't. I give it 5 digital watches on orangutans out of 5 rubber duckies floating in French vanilla yogurt with strawberry swirls.
All right.
Okay, then.
Okay.
That's certainly stuff.
That's a thing.
We're about to hit a bunch of these things.
Hit a bunch of spinies. Yep. Yeah, just a reminder, everyone, if you're listening to the audio version of this, we are playing video games for Extra Life while we are recording this. It is literally Geek Cave Live.
Yep.
You're getting all of it. And hopefully you're getting some prizes, too, because if you donated to our fundraiser, we've been picking prizes throughout the night, and we've got another prize giveaway coming up in a little bit. If you are listening to the audio version of this, well, we're out of prizes. But the good news is you can still donate through the end of the year. Just click on the Extra Life button at the top in the pinned post at the top of DeepCavePodcast.com.
All right. Well, we're not doing a 4-hour thing because, well, we're extra lifing.
Yes.
And I probably should have because we got audience that could have weighed in,
mm-hmm.
but I didn't.
Yes.
I just didn't think about it. And I didn't watch a bunch of trailers because, well, quite honestly, I've watched them. There's no new trailers that are all that different. And if I have to watch that Lady Di biopic trailer one more time, I'm going to find a paparazzi to, you know, take pictures of at odd times and in weird ways just to be that guy.
Okay.
So, unless you guys got some kind of reviews or news or whatnot that we're going to dig into, I'm gonna do the movie review.
Oh.
Yeah.
Ooh.
And now it is time for Darren's Trivial Trivia.
All right, I promised that we were going to be talking Hitchcock.
Yes.
And I've got some stuff. So the Watch What podcasts have touched on how revolutionary Hitchcock was as a director.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was really the king of shock value. Psycho was the first U.S. film to feature a toilet flushing.
Yep.
Okay.
There you go.
Yep.
Now you know, your life is made better.
You know, actually, my life is a little bit better knowing that.
There you go.
Oh, the lights are down low. The popcorn is hot. The drinks are cold. Settle in for the cinematic universe of Chad's Random Movie Review.
So, according to the roll of the dice, I will be playing the King Arthur Legend of the Sword movie on the TV, you know, for the next random movie review. And I'm sure it'll be fine. You know, there's not been any bad King Arthur movies.
No.
Ever.
No.
And featured on Netflix, so it's probably fine. Huh. Anyway. So take an aging actor of a B television series and put him in some deeply uncomfortable positions. Not a euphemism. I'm pretty sure that is the complete and total plot synopsis of Mindhorn, the movie that I watched, and one of 27 total movies that have been had all or part of it shot on the Isle of Man.
All right.
Mindhorn was a television character with an A-team kind of intro, or a $6 million man kind of intro, if you don't want to spend that kind of money. Captured while on a top secret mission near Siberia and experimented on by communist doctors, Mindhorn was given an artificial eye that could allow him to literally see the truth.
Ooh.
Now he is the world's best private investigator. Well, pass by all that intro stuff that's happening. It's probably happening in the late 80s, but looks like it's happening in the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
Get by that, and now Mindhorn is an aging, balding person that chucked all his goodwill by noping off to L.A. to be the next Burt Reynolds and failing so hard that even Zoidberg felt sorry for him.
Yikes.
So, this is one of those movies where you have a serial killer, and the serial killer has some kind of fixation on an actor's role, says, I will only speak to Mindhorn. And so they have to get Mindhorn, the actor who played him anyway, to take this on. He has fallen so low that he steals somebody else's audition in order to audition to be a Jamaican. He is played by a white actor, a black Jamaican role.
Oh, no.
It's that kind of movie. So, clearly things are going poorly.
What?
Things are going poorly for him. And so, what he does, he finds out that there is a role for him. The Isle of Man police are going to hire him, for lack of a better term, to return to the role of Mindhorn so that he can talk to this serial killer and get the, you know, get his location, whatnot. He doesn't take it seriously. Like, he thinks that it's fake, I guess, because he's asking about the green room in the police station and why there's not bottled water instead of tap water.
Okay.
And so on and so forth. There's also a subplot where he's trying to get back together with his former co-star. They were living together for like 2.5 years, and then he said he needed to go get weed killer and didn't come back.
Okay.
She's now a journalist. Turns out they do get the serial killer, or at least the one that they think is a serial killer. He's like, did you get my fan mail? then you know I didn't do it. You know I'm innocent. Ah, yes, it's that kind of movie.
All right.
And so, into that kind of movie, Mindhorn is broken. He is hurt. He is, honestly, I don't care. He was such a terrible character I kind of enjoyed. I felt like Darren. Enjoying my pain okay. at JRPGs.
I don't enjoy your pain.
No?
No. I'm laughing at, like, the wordplay you use.
Oh. He's laughing. He's not
I'm
laughing
at your
you.
Jokes. I'm He's, not laughing oh. at you.
He's not laughing.
Well, in that case, I apologize. I thought you were just laughing at me.
No.
He's not laughing at you. He's laughing with you. The problem is you're not laughing.
It must be all the devil fighting. Okay?
Yeah. All the devil fighting.
All the Schadenfreude.
All the devil fighting. That's been our day. So, he's just this awful character. So, what happens next? Honestly, it doesn't matter because you shouldn't watch it. I mean, it's a terrible movie. It might be the best movie to come out of the Isle of Man, and you still shouldn't watch it. Watch just the Isle of Man parts of whatever Harry Potter movie is, the Chamber of Secrets, because part of that movie was filmed there, I guess.
Yeah.
And from what I understand, those movies are not awful. So, I don't know. I haven't seen them.
Okay.
I just don't know. I've read all the books, but I haven't seen any of the movies. Well, I've seen the first movie.
They're pretty good.
Speaking of seeing movies, don't see Mindhorn. You can skip that one. At the end of it, the serial killer, who's not actually a serial killer, ends up dying, shot by the police constable, who is one of the actual killers, because she is the mayor's niece. And the joke about the Isle of Man being a bunch of incestuous hillbillies comes full circle. And then the movie ends with, it just ends.
It just stops.
It just stops. It's like somebody else got really tired of it and just stopped it. Whatever. There's no closure of any of the relationship pieces, like at all. The closest one to get a bit of closure was the Kestrel. The Kestrel is the guy that everyone thought was the serial killer, but turns out he's not.
Yeah.
Actually, it's not fair to say serial killer. Potential serial killer. Because he's only killed one person, but they're convinced that he's going to do it over and over again. No, I don't have the energy to go on with it. It's so bad that I don't have enough adjectives to be able to share with you the depths of just unfortunate, you know, reality that spawned this particular bit of cinematic flotsam. So cast it into the ocean.
From whence it came.
From whence it came. And do not be like me. So, without silly outro for Kent Harris, the amazing announcer, for Darren Wright, the ever patient and beloved leader of the Geek Cave, fearless leader in perpetuity, the Flip.
What the hell?
For Justin Wright, the funny one, I'm Chad, the guy who will never do as many episodes as they do. Thanks for listening, and remember, everyone is a geek for something.